An interesting point is that sometimes your catch-all can limit your specific list, and sometimes your specific list can limit your catch-all. One doctrine that's talked about fairly frequently is the doctrine of legisdem generis. Courts are going to try to determine the party's intent here. That's the controlling factor. But this is one of those things they apply to supposedly, you know, try to find the party's intent. This holds that when a specific list is followed by a catch-all, then we're going to read the catch-all as being limited to things like the specific list. Essentially, what courts do is they go in, they look at the specific list, they try to find common categories, and they try to say, okay, what are the common sorts of attributes? And then they'll apply those as limitations on the catch-all. If you say otherwise, it won't apply. So sometimes a catch-all is prefaced with whether of the kind specifically enumerated above or not, or say that somewhere in it. A good case in this, and we'll talk about this in a couple ways, is the TEC Olmos versus ConocoPhillips case from 2018 in the Houston First District Court of Appeals. The basic facts are we had a farm-out agreement with a drilling obligation, and that obligation was backed up with a whole bunch of liquidated damages if deadlines were missed. Almost had some financing, whatnot, but there was a big market downturn in oil and gas that caused them to lose their financing. Losing their financing caused them to miss drilling deadlines. They looked at a force majeure provision and they tried to qualify those things under the catch-all. The court looked at it and said, well, we need to apply the doctrine of legisdem generis. And they said, well, we see a few common characteristics between all the items in the express list. First, it said all the expressly listed items, those are things that happen irregularly. Well, on the other hand, they said that market downturns happen regularly, particularly in oil and gas. So that seemed too different to them. They also said, well, all the expressly listed items are things that'd be really difficult to plan for, difficult to allocate the risks. Whereas they said parties often plan for market downturns and they often contractually allocate those risks. They also said that the express list listed natural disasters, governmental acts, and labor disputes, and financing issues were neither of those things. So that's kind of how that works. The opposite can also hold true under something that some courts call reverse legisdem generis. It's really not that commonly used with that title, but I thought it was a helpful way to explain this. Basically, a court can limit or modify the enumerated list so that it falls in within some sort of limitation expressed on the catch-all. An example is Roland Oil. We had a Railroad Commission order that caused a lessee to have to shut in the, or an operator to have to shut in a well. Force majeure came in. The operator said, well, here, I don't have to worry if I'm in the reasonable control, which was in the, that limitation was in the catch-all, because I'm relying on an order that's in the enumerated list. The court looked at it and said, yeah, but you have the word other here. They said, that's likening this to the phrase any A, B, or other C indicates that A has to be interpreted in a way that falls within a subset of C. So in other words, the control limitation in the catch-all also applied to the enumerated list. So that can happen that way. Some common limitations let's look at. So in other words, even if you qualify under the definition of force majeure, could you still have some other limitations that you'd have to prove? Well, one, you may have to prove that the event was unforeseeable. Sometimes this appears as an express provision in your force majeure provision. But most of the case law looks at whether or not we will imply this sort of limitation. And the cases pretty uniformly say no if we're talking about an event under the express list of a force majeure clause. And in fact, it's kind of awkward in that context, because if you listed something as an express force majeure enumerated list, well, it was at least to some extent foreseeable. So how would you then prove that it wasn't? But some jurisdictions do that, like California. Most of the case on Texas looks at the implied limitation of unforeseeability with respect to the catch-all. And there is at least one case holding that when we're looking at the catch-all, we do have that as a common law gap filler. Again, we're in the Olmos case. Three different holdings that are just really important in that case for this presentation and interesting in light of COVID. First, they said that when an alleged force majeure event is alleged to fall within the general terms of a catch-all, we find it appropriate to apply common law notions, including unforeseeability, to fill the gaps. Well, as a litigator, that also makes me think, well, so what other common law notions would apply? I don't think that there's a really consistent agreement on those in cases. So that could be something explored. But I guess in this case, we do have unforeseeability was implied. They also held that fluctuations in oil and gas markets are foreseeable as a matter of law. So that's interesting there. So the result being that if you're looking at a market fluctuation, you're not going to be able to qualify for force majeure unless it's expressly listed. So So what about COVID-19? Is that somehow unique? Well, I think you could make an argument that COVID-19 goes beyond just mere market fluctuations. For example, it was almost a total global collapse of demand. There were near total global shutdowns of travel, a whole bunch of domino effects and whatnot. So maybe you could make an argument there. But I think in a very literal application of almost, you could say, well, hold on, we have this law saying that this case saying that market fluctuations are foreseeable. So that could be interesting. I don't have a lot of time to cover the other limitations. One is reasonable control, and the cases are a little bit of all over the place on control, basically coming down to the conclusion that if you have control as a limitation on your catch-all, then that's also going to apply to your express list. And the control limitation being that you have to prove that the force majeure event was outside of your reasonable control.